In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The sermon text chosen today, Psalm 146 and Matthew 5 and Hebrews chapter 11, these were chosen before the election on Tuesday. And by the way, if it passed you by and you, oh my gosh, was Tuesday election day? Don't worry, it's over now. But anyway, these texts were chosen before the election based on what the Lord has been impressing upon me. About politics, yes, but ultimately about the Lord and his character and our hope. And so everything you're going to hear today was not based on anything that happened this past week, and, well, at least I'm going to try not to. And it's something I really need to understand and grapple with. So if you want to join me in that journey, that's what we're going to do. And the focus is going to be on Psalm 146, even though Hebrews 11 and Matthew 5 are so important in what we'll be saying as well. The Lord has spoken to me on numerous occasions, but very clearly and explicitly, and from Psalm 146, on October 22nd, specifically, invest less in politics. That's God's message to me. Doesn't need to be but to me. Invest less. Right? When we invest, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Right? So when you have your investment in something, you're concerned if you see those stocks going up and going down and going up and going down. Maybe you're having a good day when things are going up. You're just kind of like, it's a good day. And when they're way down, you're like, it's a bad day. But the Lord has shown me invest less. And that's not insider trading on the Lord's part. Because what he is saying to me is right there in Psalm 146. Right there in Psalm 146, where we read these words about praising him and not putting our hope in any human being. So as I've been rereading this Psalm 146, I thought I wanted to read it again before I preach this morning, which I guess I'm already doing. But I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit different. I'd like to read this psalm together, and I've put it together as a responsive reading. And I don't know how to do this without asking you to stand. So if you're able, will you stand again? I know there's a lot of standing and sitting, but if you'll stand again, I will read the odd verses, you read the even verses. I'll be reading you'll be reading the ones that are in bold. We'll all be reading those together. So, and this is to read this and pray, Lord, help us to receive what's here for us today. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever.
He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free.
The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked.
The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
You may be seated again. Lord, help us to hear from you what you want to impress upon us, not only this morning, but in the days and in the years to come, all the days that you give us to live this life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. This sermon is titled, and my first point is, yours is the kingdom. Jesus spoke those words. We repeat them on Sunday mornings when we say the Lord's Prayer. Yours is the kingdom. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom and the power and the glory. God alone is worthy of praise, so much praise, I've been trying, and I'm way far away from finishing it yet, but I'm trying to memorize this psalm. And when you memorize scripture, you just start to notice things. And I've noticed in this psalm how it just builds, right? It starts with a simple phrase and command and invitation, praise the Lord. But then it builds, praise the Lord, O my soul. Then it builds a little bit more, I will praise the Lord all my life. And then it builds still a little bit more, I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. And in the Hebrew, it says, as long as I have breath, or as long as I have being. And so it's building that God is the one to be praised, and then immediately, right away, as if God knows there are other contenders for praise and other contenders for our heart's devotion, he says, do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. These verses are here for a reason, because God knows that earthly rulers often take upon themselves a God-like status. That was true in the ancient world. That is true today. These verses are also here for a reason, because God knows that we human beings desperately want someone to save us in the here and now. And it's even a reason why there is such a pendulum in our politics. Such a pendulum. If you look back starting 1992, go on, just pendulum, big changes, because people are looking for some hope, for some salvation. Of course, they're only given a couple choices, and then, you know, every set of years, it's like, well, that didn't work, let's try something else. God is the one who is eternal. This psalm paints the picture of a God who paints the picture, painted all throughout Scripture, of the God who is the Creator. He is above and beyond all the ups and downs and changes. He is eternal. His character doesn't change. His plans don't collapse. His kingdom doesn't end. Therefore, blessed is the one whose hope is in him, whose hope, whose trust is in the God of Jacob. And I would say, and maybe some of you would identify, I feel that. I feel the difference of when my attention and my focus is on the Lord versus my attention and focus is on the ups and downs of the news. Side note, don't hear me saying that those things don't matter in any way. I'm just saying that our heart can get so invested, at least mine can. Now, what's interesting here is verse 3 says, don't put your trust in princes, and in the NIV, in mortal men who cannot save, or in human beings who cannot save. In the Hebrew, it says, and many translations of the Bible, you might have one in front of you, say it this way, don't put your trust in a son of man who cannot save. So the idea of son of man gets translated as human being, mortal man, whatever. But it's kind of interesting because Jesus was called the Son of Man, right? He called himself the Son of Man. And so you think, well, what does that mean then? Don't put your trust in a Son of Man who cannot save. Well, let's read on. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Jesus was the exception to that rule. Jesus was the one who died, and his disciples thought, it's over. Our plans have come to nothing. Our hopes have come to nothing. They were in mourning. They were grieving, and they were hiding. And he rose again. He rose again. Amen. 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 And so his plans didn't come to nothing because he is the true Son of Man, but the true Son of God. And as the Son of God and as eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, his plans continue. He is the one of whom the Old Testament prophesied the eternal kingdom would be given to him. And it is given to him. And we notice that what is said here about the character of God is true of Jesus. Because what's said in this psalm is after this call to praise, the blessing of putting our hope in the true God, the maker of heaven and earth, it starts to unpack and unfold his character. And what it shows is a God who is, and we'll read it again in a moment, but what it shows is a God who is powerful and a God who is compassionate and a God who doesn't change. That's what we are looking for. That is what we need. We need power combined with great compassion. Everyone's looking for it. Everyone's looking for it. And everyone keeps getting disappointed. And I realized this is why I wanted to make sure I had my text chosen and as many of my thoughts together as I could before the election. Like, I realized I'd come in here and speak to people, some of whom on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday felt good, and some who felt pretty bad, right? And yet, our eternal hope, right, our confidence is in the fact that there is a God who's where there's not the ups and downs, but his power and his compassion continue. That kingdom is the kingdom of the Lord. It's brought through Christ. It continues through his church and extends into eternity when all is perfectly right. God's kingdom brings together supreme power and supreme compassion. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. That's the kingdom our hearts need. That's the kingdom our hearts want. Not only do we say, yours is the kingdom, but we say, theirs is the kingdom. Jesus said in Luke 6, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. In Matthew 5, which we read, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God, and so forth. The kingdom is given to those who are in need, those who feel their need, those who are impoverished or spiritually impoverished, know it and turn to the God of Jacob through the face of Jesus Christ. And it's right here in Psalm 146, because let's look at these verses again. I won't put them up on the screen, but I'll just read them here, and you can see them in your Bible. Starting at verse 7, he upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien or the sojourner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. Mm-hmm. Jesus, of course, as I said, repeated this sentiment in continually offering the kingdom to the needy and the poor heard him gladly. We also know that Jesus embodied this passage. He literally gave sight to the blind, right? He embodied this passage perfectly because he embodies the kingdom perfectly. Do you see yourself in this passage? Maybe literally, maybe figuratively, but in some way meaningfully. Do you see yourself, would you relate to any of these phrases? Oppressed, hungry, blind, bowed down low, a sojourner, fatherless, widow. Would you relate to any of those words? Would your testimony tell the story of one of those words? Because the Lord cares for those in all these kinds of circumstances. And if you see yourself in words like that, you receive the blessing of the kingdom. You are one of them. You receive the blessings of the kingdom, but you're also made a citizen of the kingdom. And we'll say more about that in a moment. But think about Hebrews 11 for a moment. In Hebrews 11, those who walk by faith, there's quite a variety of people. Abraham had some wealth. Like, he had servants and he had possessions. We kind of, like, don't always picture him that way, but if you read Genesis, you see that to be true. Other people were outcasts, like Moses, for quite some time. As Hebrews 11 goes on, it talks about some who were persecuted, some were killed. It talks about some who had children die and by faith had them raised again. It talks about all kinds of people, and then it concludes by saying that all, and it's interesting because some of the people who are in Hebrews 11, by faith, saw great success. It's mentioned in Hebrews 11. They saw success in battle. They saw success according to the times of the times of Jerusalem, like politically. Some of them saw God do mighty things that brought celebration, like crossing the Red Sea. Others saw defeat and saw sadness. Some saw their promises that God made to them fulfilled in this life, like when Abraham and Sarah gave birth to Isaac. And yet, even for those who felt that their faith led them to moments of great victory, even to those who would say their promises, and Hebrews 11 would even say they received the promises of God, when the chapter concludes, it says this: all these people of the Old Testament, all these were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planted something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And with apologies, I forgot to read the verse before that. It says, some faced jeers and flogging, others were chained and put in prison. Some were stoned, some were sawn in two, which is a tradition concerning Isaiah. Some were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. But all of them, it says, they were looking for something greater, something bigger, the kingdom of God. Theirs was the kingdom, theirs is the kingdom. And that continues to be true today. Theirs is the kingdom. Who are the outcasts? Who are the needy? Theirs is the kingdom. Also, ours is the kingdom. Ours is the kingdom. Now, I already mentioned that when we turn to the Lord and put our trust in him, we receive the benefits of the kingdom, right? I would say that during the worst seasons of our family's life, that was kind of dragged out over a number of years, in that season, I would say that the Lord was one who set the prisoner free. Because we reached the end of 2019 before we all met all y'all here at Messiah, and we felt like we were stuck and trapped and things just weren't getting any better. And then the Lord set prisoners free. The Lord set prisoners free. We relate to that passage. Maybe there's a phrase you relate to where you've been bowed down, crushed under weight, and seen the Lord lift that. Maybe you recognize, you go back and remember, I was blind. Like, I was so prideful, and I can do this one too. Just go back to when I first came to faith. So prideful, so full of godless opinions and perspectives. And the Lord opened the eyes of the blind. And so we benefit. Ours is the kingdom. Ours is the kingdom. No matter who you are, no matter what your story is, you can be part of the kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ. Through faith in Jesus Christ, he invites you. But as Steve Jobs used to be famous for saying, but wait, there's more. The reason that I wanted to close with this point that says ours is the kingdom is because we are those who not just benefit from and are recipients of the blessings of the kingdom. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, if you're walking towards that city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God's, if you are one of whom Jesus would say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, there's responsibility and there's accountability for being a good steward of what we've been taught and what we've been promised. To live by faith in that eternal kingdom, to live by faith in being citizens of that city that has foundations. How does God accomplish his agenda? In this passage, if I don't even leave Psalm 146, and I just look at Psalm 146, and I see that God sets prisoners free, that God gives sight to the blind, that he lifts up those who are bowed down, that he watches over the sojourner, cares for the fatherless and the widow, how does God do that? Well, he did that in Jesus, right? I can't open blind eyes. I don't have that gift. But he also does it through us, through the church. We are called what? The body of Christ. Ours is the kingdom. We're called upon to represent the character of God that's seen most clearly in Jesus Christ, that's spelled out here in Psalm 146. We're called upon to represent the character of God, the character of the kingdom. This cuts through political polarization. This cuts through misinformation and disinformation. If we live out who we are called to be as citizens of this kingdom. And it's hard because in the world that we live in, I've said this like in every sermon I've preached this year. I've only preached a few sermons, but I'm sorry if it's redundant. In the technology we live with, in the media environment we inhabit, it is a challenge to not have your heart pulled here, pulled there, and pulled everywhere. As a book that I'm reading right now says, I think it's a quote from Dallas Willard, there are no accidental saints. We have to be very intentional if we are going to put our focus on that eternal kingdom, on the character of that kingdom, and live that out in our everyday life, and live that out here at Messiah. I said earlier that that God fulfills this through Jesus, but then also through us. When I think about the times our family has been blessed by God breaking through, including after that long, terrible season that came to an end, or mostly an end in 2019, God broke through in some pretty amazing ways, you know, like a prophetic word. But he ultimately used people. And then he brought us to Church of the Messiah. And Church of the Messiah, as Marty often says, it was a healing place. It is a healing place. God uses his people. God uses Church of the Messiah, you know, to be a place in which the character of God is felt and known, in which some who are often seen as outcasts have a joyful celebration on Tuesday night, where there's love. I don't know how many of you struggle as much as I do to kind of keep that heart in check and to keep that focus where it's supposed to be. But I do want to invite you to take this challenge. I've said today that the kingdom belongs to the Lord. He's the one we should have all of our trust in. And I think we would all agree with that. And then I've said that theirs is the kingdom. This message of the gospel is meant to go out to all people of all circumstances, and God has a special care for the needy. And I hope we would say yes. And I've said that that we're called to walk in this and to live in this and to keep our focus there. The challenge I would give you is, whether Christian media or mainstream secular media, wherever you get your news, information, or just everyday entertainment, over the next 2 days, see if any of this is reinforced. Any of it. And if it is, that's a good thing. And if it's not, take note, because that's what we're swimming against as the church. That's what we're swimming against. Even those, you know, say news sources that you would tend to agree with and think uphold something that you agree with and might think is biblical, do they call you to put your trust fully in the Lord and say, hey, don't trust in anybody else? Do they call you to say, theirs is the kingdom? Do they? Do they call you to say, take responsibility to live according to the good character of the Lord? Pay attention. Give it only 2 days. And if you realize Yeah, this is not being reinforced. I think I'm okay, but this is not being reinforced. Or I think I'm living in constant fear and panic, and this is not being reinforced. Like, whatever you think, just realize we're going to need something pretty intentional to keep our focus. Like, I need you all a lot, and we all need each other. And the good news is that Jesus, he didn't just say, hey, here's what my kingdom is all about. I hope you can keep it, right? Hope you can keep it built up nice and strong. He said, I will be with you. He says, I'm putting my spirit in you. And when his spirit is in us, he corrects us. When his spirit is in us, he leads us. When his spirit is in us, he brings praise. He brings rejoicing. So he's with us. We're not alone. So let's give him thanks and praise for that as we now close. So Father in heaven, thank you for what is said here in Psalm 146, what is really said throughout the pages, the storyline of Scripture. Yours is the kingdom. Theirs is the kingdom. Ours is the kingdom. Help us, O Lord, to put our full trust in you and to demonstrate to a watching world that there is something good and beautiful found in Jesus Christ and found in the body of Christ. Help us, O Lord, to love each other well. Help us, Lord, to love our community well. Help us, Lord, to love them well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.